Heard at Sports Radio every weekday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. Coming up on Friday's show, it's a free-for-all as usual. We'll talk with Chad Forbes of NFL Draft Bites about all the things going on in the NFL. Mike Sauter from Heard at Sports stops by with all his takes on the latest local sports action. And, of course, we'll do our weekly check-in with former Husker and current pizza shop owner Matt Versal. Take a dive into the latest news and all things sports. Heard at Sports Radio with Ravi Lula and Damon Benning.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you at Tower 2 at Tail Varsity Radio. We're live at Rosie's downtown, 10th and P. There's a number of educators here. They are celebrating the last day of school. Thank you, teachers, for another year giving yourselves to so many kids. We're ready for Nebraska baseball tonight. That'll follow us here down at Rosie's, 6 o'clock, allegedly. Iowa and Indiana still arm wrestling right now. As we head up to Charles Schwab, we welcome in with the Omaha World Herald. Does an awesome job covering Nebraska baseball. Evan Bland with us at Evan Bland, O-W-H. Evan, what's the scene like, man? Thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, yeah, no problem, Chris. Well, it's a little quiet right now, a little subdued. You got the end of a pretty good game going with Iowa and Indiana, and Iowa's got a decent crowd here, but you look out into the streets, man, and it's getting red, and it's not Rutgers fans, I can tell you that. It's, you know, you look at Ticketmaster and some of the tickets that have been sold, and there's a lot of gray sections, meaning those seats aren't available, so it'll be interesting to see. It's a gorgeous night. It's a 6 o'clock, you know, 6:30, whenever the game gets started. Perfect baseball weather and a huge game for Nebraska. So the stage is set, and I think the crowd, as it always does for Nebraska, is going to show up and should be a lot of fun.
Evan Bland's with us here from the Omaha World Herald. It's Hail Varsity Radio. He's up in Omaha for the Big Ten tournament. And Evan, I don't want this to come off sounding bad, but do you think that Husker fans are showing up in droves because this is the closest thing Nebraska's going to experience to a College World Series, at least this year, that, you know what, they're playing up in Omaha, where the College World Series is held. It's on the big stage. We get to go watch it there, and you know what? We can watch it now because we're not going to get a chance to see it in late June. Is that kind of, do you think, a potential reason why the Husker fans show up?
The motive?
I mean, you know, that's one way to look at it, I suppose. I guess I have just looked at it as, like, it's a huge game. Like, if you win tonight, you don't have to play Friday, and you get two shots to win Saturday against Maryland or Michigan State, and then that sends you to the championship game. And who knows what happens in a one-off to continue your season to a regional. So, like, if you lose, then you have that extra game Friday. Your pitching is all the further taxed, and you have to win four straight down the stretch. So it's a massive game tonight just in terms of how things can switch around. But, you know, it's top-seeded Maryland. Like I said, it's a perfect night for baseball if you're out just in downtown Omaha. It's a great start time for Nebraska fans. So, I mean, yeah, it's possible that they lose and their season's over here in the next couple of days, in which case, you know, this is still the biggest game of the season for them. But there's just a ton on the line. And I think, you know, Nebraska fans recognize that regardless of the sport. Like, you're going to show up for your team, and the fact that the conference tournament happens to be in Omaha allows a lot of people to, you know, even have seen how the result went on Wednesday, maybe build up a little excitement, like gain some walk-up traffic in terms of the crowd. So I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. And they were loud. I thought they affected the game on Wednesday, especially as Rutgers was faltering in that seventh inning. And, you know, Maryland's been to a regional, but they, outside of a series at Ole Miss this year, they haven't played in front of a crowd that they're going to play tonight. So I'll be curious to see how much that has an effect on the game early on, too.
Evan Bland with us. He is in Omaha. He's at Charles Schwab. He is gearing up to cover Nebraska and Maryland tonight. At Evan Bland, OWH is where you follow him with the Omaha World Herald. Evan, what lessons do you think Nebraska took with them from Maryland? That series was tough. Nebraska is able to get at least one game. They had to score a ton of runs to do it. Then they got sent home with a 20 spot hung on them. So what do they take back into tonight's game from that first series?
Well, I don't think there's any mystique with Maryland, right? Like, you saw them, if you're Nebraska, you've scouted them, you've beaten them the one time. It happened to be the game that Jace Kaminska started, and he's going to be the starter tonight. He did not have a great outing against them, giving up 7 and 4 innings. But, you know, I think there's a lot to just sort of take in terms of, yeah, they're ranked, yeah, they're the number one seed, but there are flaws with this team, too. I mean, they're in this field here in Omaha this week. They've got one of the worst ERAs, so you're talking about having to outslug opponents. That's been Maryland's recipe. I think it sets up as a game that Nebraska feels like it's going to be able to hang. I mean, Kaminska, since that game at Maryland, has had two pretty sharp starts. You know, the bullpen, while they used a number of their pitchers yesterday, like, nobody threw really more than 30 pitches. And so you could go back to Shea or Kyle Perry or whoever if you need to in a pinch. I mean, you're going to throw everything at the wall tonight. And I think the other thing about Maryland specifically is their ballpark plays awfully cozy. So you look at some of their power numbers, they're, you know, a top five national team in terms of slugging and home runs. They got, you know, north of 100 home runs. But they're, again, their ballpark, I think, inflates some of those numbers to where now you come to Charles Schwab Field and it's, you know, 400 plus to center. And some of those balls that maybe they're used to going out don't here. And so what I'll be curious about is, if those balls aren't going out, is Maryland able to score in other ways? Can they draw the walks? Can they string some hits together? I think Nebraska believes that it can, and it's found itself a little bit in the last few weeks as a team that can not only hit for power, as we've seen, but also can lay down the sacrifice bunt, steal the base, be decent situationally. So I think tonight's game has the recipe to be high scoring. I'll just be curious, and I think the team that wins is going to be the one where the offense is able to score in a variety of ways.
I mean, I'd just like to throw it out there. I umpired for the Malcolm baseball team a couple times this year. Their home ballpark, it's 315 to dead center. They were hitting a whole bunch of home runs, and I was wondering how that would translate to the state tournament in a field like Tal Anderson or any of the great ballparks that the state tournament has played at. And turns out it was just fine. They still went in one state tournament, so we'll see if that same recipe applies for Maryland. But, Evan, in your opinion, what is the key? If you had to pick one major key tonight for this Husker baseball team to get it done, what would that one major key be? What's something Husker fans can look for, and you think if Nebraska does this, they have a great chance at winning?
Well, I mean, I said it about how they're going to win the tournament, and I just think, and maybe it's simplistic, but I think your stars have to be stars. I mean, Maryland's got multiple all Big Ten first team players, sluggers, and so does Nebraska. And I think, you know, they were able to win. Nebraska was their opener, where maybe their top stars didn't necessarily shine as much. I mean, Gabe Swanson hit a 3-run bomb, and Charlie Fisher's gotten hot. But, you know, this feels like a game where Max Anderson and Bryce Matthews can put the team on their back a little bit and just show why they're going to be high major league draft picks here in July. So I think that's where you have to start. You know, I expect this to be a higher scoring game. I think if Kaminska can give you, you know, 4 or 5 innings, you're probably happy with that if the game's tight. And you know, Maryland, I think, is in a similar spot where their pitching's a little bit more rested. But again, they have not been all that effective, and they've been bailed out by the offense. So, you know, I think, again, Maryland's got guys like Nick LaRusso and Matt Shaw, who is the Big Ten Player of the Year, guys who can you know, create some instant offense for the Terps as well. So I just think it comes down to, are your all Big Ten first teamers going to outperform the guys on the other side? And I think they've done that a lot this season, and we'll see if they can do it tonight.
Evan, give me a little insight here. Is Bryce looking like Bryce? Is he back to regular season form, or is he still dealing with that tightness? Did you notice much yesterday? I know he was 0-for-3, but scored a run. Came up. Nebraska had opportunities. Now Rutgers helped him out with some walks and some hit batters, but Nebraska also stranded 11 themselves.
Right. Yeah, you know, I mean, he drew a key walk there, like you mentioned, scored a run. He flew out deep, I think close to or at the warning track, and maybe it was his second at bat, so he definitely had the power. And then in the field, he looked smooth enough. I mean, he was error-free and had a couple nice throws that, you know, made routine plays look routine. So, you know, maybe game two now is that game where you take that next step forward, because, again, he sat out the entire Purdue series. It had been a couple weeks since he had been out there in live game action, and now he was able to go through that against Rutgers. They win the game. They get a full day and change, a few extra hours beyond that, to rest. So you would think the adrenaline would be pumping. Knowing Bryce is the competitor that he is, you can imagine any potential aches that are there are going to be disappearing under the lights in front of the crowd with the cameras on him. So I would expect, again, like he's had a tendency, probably more than any other Nebraska player offensively over the years, on this team at least, he's had a tendency to rise up in big spots and come through when Nebraska really needs him to. And tonight kind of feels like one of those nights, and we'll see if that trend is able to continue.
Evan, Will Bolt last night after the game said that it was really important to get that three-run shot in the first inning. It got the crowd into it, and they really stayed behind the team all night long following that, all afternoon long, I should say. And I want to get your take on how important it is that Nebraska has something go right early with the large crowd expected. Do you think something needs to go right early to get the crowd into it, or is that crowd going to be something that can take you through the game no matter what happens, being on the team side, giving them an advantage? Or do you think something's got to go right early?
I mean, it certainly helps, right? I mean, no, there's no doubt. If you start fast and you're on the other side, that can kind of be a little bit deflating or intimidating, maybe, if you're Maryland. You know, kind of the two benchmarks that have been true of Nebraska this year are, one, when they hold their opponents to fewer than six runs, they win almost all their games. Now, I think that's a tall task tonight against what Maryland is able to do. But the other thing that they're able to do is, when they have a lead in those middle to late innings, they're almost always able to hold on. So I think that's something else I would point to, and that's the way that they feel like they've constructed their roster, is if you can grab that early lead, you're able to offensively take a few more chances in terms of hitting and running, stolen bases, things like that, that have gotten opponents on their heels, and that allows you to be a little bit more, I suppose, liberal with how you use your pitching. So I think that part's key as well. And so we'll see how it shakes out. But there's no doubt, if you start fast, that confidence can balloon. That bleeds into how you play offensively, how you pitch defensively, and maybe puts a little bit of doubt on the other side that, this is more of an even game than what the seeds may indicate.
Evan, a thought from you on Nick Dean. What does he bring to the mound tonight? I assume that's who Maryland's going with.
Yeah, he's been one of their weekend guys all year. It does look like he's going to be the starter. One of the more veteran pitchers on their roster. He's been there for a couple years. He's actually one of those guys who statistically has had better seasons than he's having this year. And again, you know, we talk about Maryland's small ballpark. I think some of that is affecting the ERA side of things for Maryland. So maybe their pitching is actually a little bit better. If their offense is maybe not quite, if their offensive numbers are inflated, then I think maybe that's also the case for Maryland's pitching. So, he's had, I think, it's an up and down season. But again, like, Maryland has a rested bullpen. I think, you know, you're in a spot where you're trying to play for an off day on Friday and two chances at Saturday. So if he's struggling, In the second, third inning, I imagine Rob Vaughn, their coach, would not have any qualms about going to the bullpen and finding somebody who can get outs and move you closer to that prize. So he's the guy that they want. He's a veteran. He's been in some big games, pitched in regionals before, but maybe not in front of crowds like this before, especially hostile ones. So we'll see how that shakes out. But, just in terms of his track record, I think he's had some ups, he's had some downs, and it's kind of hard to predict how it'll go tonight. It should be fun.
Evan, before we get you out of here, last hour we heard a story from Will Compton on Richie Incognito going and beating up an entire frat house for one of his teammates. And I want to know, I'm not sure if you guys had any overlap during your time in college, you and Richie, but do you have any good Richie Incognito stories?
Oh, boy. he was there when I was there. I was with the college paper at the time, and I do remember he was one of those few guys, like when you interviewed him, you had no idea what to expect. Like he might, and back then, like you would talk to guys right as they were coming off the practice field, and sometimes you could grab them and just see if they would talk. And, he was one of those guys when he was coming off, like he still kind of had that wild look in his eye a little bit. And you're just like, I'm not really sure if he's hearing me in this moment or if he's going to stop. You give him, you maybe yell out once, and if he doesn't respond, you let him pass by. That's not a guy you want to follow off the field. But I believe when he did talk, he was always, colorful. He was a character, certainly. And so you got to appreciate that about anybody.
He had that crazy look in his eye. I laugh about that. That's pretty good. Evan Bland, Omaha World Herald with us at Evan Bland, OWH. Follow his work. Great stuff on Nebraska baseball, Husker football, Omaha.com. Evan, thanks for giving us some time here before first pitch up in Omaha, bud. Appreciate you.
Yep, appreciate you guys. Thanks.
There he is, Evan Bland with us on Hail Varsity Radio. We're down here at Rosie's. You're invited out. Get here for a watch party. Nebraska baseball against those Terrapins. Fear the turtle. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. But the Big Red Army is in full swarm down in the old market getting ready for a trip into Charles Schwab. How are things working in Boulder? How much Nebraska is going to be in Colorado September 9th. We'll check in Gary Barnett next on Hail Varsity.
Heard at Sports Radio every weekday morning from 7 to 10 a.m.
Coming up on Friday's show, it's a free-for-all as usual. We'll talk with Chad Forbes of NFL Draft Bites about all the things going on in the NFL. Mike Sonner from Heard at Sports stops by with all his takes on the latest local sports action. And, of course, we'll do our weekly check-in with former Husker and current pizza shop owner Matt Versal.
Take a dive into the latest news and all things sports. Heard at Sports Radio with Ravi Lula and Damon Benning.